The most important thing to remember about MIDI drums is that it is not a piano. Okay, it's a drum kit, and you have to act and treat it accordingly. It's a drum kit. Now, you have to therefore ditch any preconceived notions that you have that you are playing a MIDI keyboard. 25, 49, 61, 76, or 88, and some in between that don't matter much. Because when you play, you're not playing And when you play, you're not playing. And if you do think like that, you're going to lose from the get-go. MIDI drumming is a whole different kettle of fish and should be treated like an entirely different instrument. Although you're sitting in front of the same keys that you live with day in and day out, for this time and for the moment that you are playing this instrument, they are not those. So all the chords and stuff that you play are C major, that is not a C major. It is a potential beginning of a track, if you want. Or not. Once you can get rid of that preconceived notion, you can begin to learn MIDI drumming fundamentals 101. So, where do we start? Well, for a beginner's sake, every kit that you come across on a keyboard is probably going to be slightly different in its layout and its the way that it looks to you when you come to play it. In this instance, I'm actually using Native Instruments Studio Drummer, one of the presets from that library, and for the most part, it looks like a GM kit, which you might be used to from your old Yamaha Roland gear, particularly Roland gear. Korg in the mid-90s never really subscribed to it, and if you look at the M1 drum kits, you will see what I mean. Which means that for every kit you come across, well, nearly every kit, there is a huge learning curve. Now, don't be put off by that. Just embrace it. Because when you don't use a set standard, you can go outside the quote-unquote norms and the boundaries of said norms and do different things. For example, a GM kit isn't going to have on it, because those are the edge of the toms, the very edge of all the toms. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, in real terms, if you want to know, they go up there. Normally, at this point, in the GM layout, you're getting, and I can't picture it, so I can't really tell you 100%, but it's probably going to be something to do with whistles and cucas and no, not cucas, guiros and such things. It's certainly in the realms of the GM percussion. I'm happy to be corrected. When I play one kit, I switch out of the mindset of knowing what any other kit is doing, so I try not to think about it, so I don't go and hit something I don't mean to hit. Now, just as when you're playing music, you can make mistakes, and don't worry about those, other than if you make them and you're going to record the thing, edit it out later like you would anything else. Drummers only have two hands, ladies and gentlemen, and 2 feet. So it is impossible to play 1, 2, and three at the same time. And any MIDI drummer that tells you it is lying. It's like MIDI guitar work. It's either poor or it's excellent. I want to teach you to be excellent. Beginning stuff then. C2, in this particular drum kit, is the bass drum. Hello, piano, where did you come from? And above and below the octave, you can, above and below C2, and up to, I think, C6 on a Sayer 61. After that, you can get all kinds of stuff, and sometimes before it. So this GM layout only extends as far as this tom, which is B2 as well. Yeah, B2. After that, it gets a bit wacky, because where there would normally be two extra toms, you start getting cymbals and stuff. Now, it gets complicated, and I don't really want to get into all that, but the idea is that you can do anything with any kit, and there's no set rules, but some people sort of adhere to a little bit of a standard. Addictive have their own layout, which I've come to know and love extensively, by the way, over the years. But this takes me back to my roots and learning. I started learning MIDI drums on an old Yamaha PSR. I had a 520 at age 15, PSR 520, and I started to learn sort of how to try and make the drums kick butt on that, ghost notes and such things. Back in those days, of course, you didn't really have layers, but Yamaha had a thing on the G below C2, so I guess G1, that was a quiet snare, and it was a different, slightly different snare from whatever kit snares were on the D and E. And even though the stuff wasn't layered, if you stuck that in occasionally, you could do very nice ghost notes. Nowadays, you don't need to, because, for example, on this kit, the D and E's are round robin, and they sound quite good if you do that. Now, at the top end of the keyboard, as you heard before, up here, you have copies of the snares as well. So you can roll easier. It sounds better in a mix, of course. It sounds a bit machine-like when I'm doing it like that. But if I... things like that, and you can take it all different ways. It depends on how good you can trill, and this is why I don't like to drum on an 88 key keyboard. I need the freedom of movement to trill, and that's just with two fingers. The 88 keys would be much harder to do that with, so I try to avoid those at all costs. So with that in mind, you know, find your layout and start a simple pattern. For those following along with perfect pitch, try something like so, to help you, and even though I said to ignore that the piano is a piano at this time, or a keyboard is a piano, I will do it like this. Index finger on my left hand, middle finger, and the next finger, ring finger. So I put those on the first C, D, and E notes. On my right hand, that's my pinky finger, and my index finger on the A flat. So E flat, A flat, C, D, E, E flat, A flat, C, D, E. So if you play what I just did on this, disgusting. Play it on this instead. It's quite a different story, and you can stop cringing now because it's drums, not piano. I was cringing, and believe me, and I was doing it. So once you can do that, you can then move on to other complicated things, and well, more complicated things, and just build yourself up from there, you know? And you just progress. And don't worry if you can't do things at speed, like it just takes practice. And being able to do ghost notes and bounces and stuff, again, practice. start easy. Four. Six, eight. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. Move on. Things like that, where you have sort of 4-4 against 6-8, you don't need to do the whole way through like a real drummer wouldn't, just use it as backdrop. Now, when you get into some kits do a thing which is quite nice, where you have the F sharp, which is the hi-hat usually on the kits, and the A flat is the pedal, good for jazz, and you know, when you don't want to use your hands to hit the hi-hat. Now, some of them actually do F sharp is mirrored on the A flat, but a slightly different sound. This keyboard, this drum layout, two octaves above this original hi-hat. So for those following along, there is another copy of that hi-hat, but it's a slightly different version. Now with that and the A-flat, you can actually do, that's the A-flat, you see. The two octave A-flat above there. So you can actually do rolls and make it easier, because the keyboard will only re-trigger so quickly, and if you're trying to share finger space doing hi-hat work, it can get quite complicated. So what I like to do is to use a hi-hat on a different key, if the kit even allows it to do. Things like that. Things like that. Just takes over time. And as I say, every kit's different, every keyboard's different. So if you're not doing that immediately, please don't fret. Just work it up. I can do different things on different kit layouts, for example. I'm still learning this. I've only had these particular kits for a handful of weeks, so their layout is still a bit foreign to me. On Addictive Drums, I can do totally different things, but we're not discussing that today. So I hope that's been a bit beneficial, and I hope you've enjoyed the little demo there. Any questions? I want to hear them.